You may have heard, because it was a big story, and much debate was occurring on Facebook all week. The Troy City Council, by a vote of 6-1, agreed to table the Sanctuary City resolution. There's a lot of there is no really one definition of what a sanctuary city is, but Troy's proposed resolution basically said that city workers, including police, would not ask about people's immigration status, the people who they came into contact with, unless it was necessary or required. But another kind of overlooked, I guess, aspect of the resolution that I kind of delved into a bit in my newsletter was that the resolution says that the city police won't honor immigration detainers from ICE. A detainer is basically a request, a sort of administrative request that police departments or, you know, various law enforcement agencies can get from ICE that basically it's sort of a voluntary request that basically says, hey, the person who you have in custody already for an arrest or whatever, we believe that we have reason to believe that this person is removable, deportable. So we'd like you to hold them for up to 48 hours longer than you otherwise would. And we'll come get them. But again, they're requests, not commands. One question I sort of had was, well, currently does the police department honor these detainers? And I haven't gotten an answer yet. I asked the police department last week with the mayor's spokesman CC'd, but no one got back to me. So I'm not sure. The mayor has said publicly that they're already doing all the directives of this resolution so that he doesn't really see the necessity of it. But I wanted to get clarity on that specific part, like whether they actually are honoring detainers already, because it actually has come out that complying with these detainers, again, they're voluntary and they involve holding someone longer than the police department otherwise would. They're actually sort of legally problematic. And even just last month, the state appeals court ruled that unless a police department has a sort of formal agreement with ICE where your officers are deputized, essentially, like what Rensselaer County has
287G.
At the jail. Yeah, 287G. New York law doesn't even allow local law enforcement to comply with detainers. So it would be almost illegal for the police department to comply with these detainers. That decision, again, just came out last month. So that's all
pretty new.
And that
was a New York State decision?
That was a New York State appeals court. Yeah. It's not the highest court in the state, which is the Court of Appeals, but a mid-level, sort of the first level of appeal from state Supreme Court.
It sounds like, so then the Sanctuary City resolution would be in conflict with the 287G.
No, because 287G is sort of a whole different bag, because that involves like a basically deputizing of that. It's kind of confusing. The decision that came down last month the judge literally says in the decision, like, this doesn't have to do with 287G. If you enter into that, that's kind of a different ballgame, because it's as if in that case, local departments are acting through the feds almost, or like the feds are acting through the local department kind of in it, that is fine. But in that decision didn't affect that. But this was only in a case where, again, ICE says, hey, police department, without any agreement in place, hey, will you detain this person until we come get them? In that case, that's not allowed under New York law, for reasons that are sort of beyond my area of my amateur knowledge of law. But I did talk to a non-amateur, Kendra Senna, who's a senior staff attorney at the Government Law Center of Albany Law School. And I asked her basically, hey, you know, will you take a look at this, at Troy's resolution? And, you know, does anything go against the law? Like, is the city within its rights to basically say all these things? And she said, yes, the directives in Troy's resolution are within its discretion as a local government. Because that was one thing that I noticed sitting in the two meetings, first in the committee meeting last week on Tuesday night, and then on Thursday night when the resolution was before the full council. There were some opponents of the resolution who were saying, basically, this goes against federal law. Like, you guys are about to break the law by passing this resolution. And that's just not true. I mean, it again, as the expert of, as the Albany Law School professor said, it's within the city's discretion. Another sort of concern that was raised about the resolution by opponents was that if the city moves forward and adopts this, it could lose access to federal funds. But in another case, this time in federal court in the Southern District of New York, in a lawsuit that was brought by a number of states, including New York, the New York State Attorney General, a federal judge blocked the Trump administration from imposing certain immigration-related conditions on a popular public safety grant that DOJ issues. And this decision applies not only to New York State and the other states that brought the lawsuit, but also to those states' political subdivisions, which is a fancy way of saying counties, cities, including Troy, because Troy is one of the is a city that receives this particular grant. It's called a Bern JAG grant, and the JAG I forget what this JAG stands for, but in any case, it's a really popular grant that a lot of cities and counties and whatever use. And the judge basically said you can't impose those restrictions now or in the future, and actually you're going to have to reissue all the the grant agreements and have all these cities re-sign them by and remove these conditions that you had tried to impose to basically punish cities that declare themselves sanctuary cities.
Right.
And then the one other sort of thing that I think got lost in the debate last week is that the resolution contains some pretty broad carve-outs, the pretty exceptions to when the city can either cooperate with ICE or when the city can, you know, ask about immigration status. So that there was concerns about what about public safety, or what if we have some dangerous person detained? What, are we just going to set them loose?
Right.
The resolution basically says the police department can still assist in immigration enforcement if there exists, quote, an articulated direct threat to life or public safety, or if it is necessary to execute a criminal warrant or court order, or if it is demonstrated the state or federal statute or regulation requires that the city comply with those requests.
Gotcha.
So anyway, all this is to say that it's sort of unclear still whether the city will end up adopting the resolution.
Right.
Three of the four Democratic members of the city council are basically on record as saying that they are going to support it.
Mm.
And three Republicans have basically said they're not going to vote for it. So that leaves T.J. Kennedy, who is the District 6 in South Troy representative, who has not yet publicly said where he's gonna fall, or maybe he doesn't know. But even if, for the sake of argument, we assume that TJ Kennedy is going to vote yes, which is not a sure bet, that's the if the resolution were to pass 4-3, the mayor could still veto it, because it would need to get 5 votes to be veto proof. And we don't know if the mayor would veto it if it got that far. There may yet be changes to the resolution too, I should add. Anasha Cummings, the downtown city councilman, provided me a copy of some of the amendments that he was actually prepared to make on Thursday night. But he didn't make, because they agreed to table it.
Right.
And his modifications, basically, it was a small change, but it was one that seemed aimed at criticism from the police department, which basically said, hey, we take offense to this whole resolution, because it's sort of implying that we don't already not ask people about their immigration status. So why would you even need to pass this resolution? And so he changed all the directive to say, instead of saying the Troy Police Department will not ask about anyone's immigration status, it's changed to Troy Police Department will continue not to ask anyone's
still
immigration.
Not ask.
I don't know that will really smooth anything over. I think maybe the damage is done. At least that's what the Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin said on Twitter after the vote was tabled on Thursday. He's been outspoken about how he opposes this, and how it'll make this city less safe and so on. But I guess we'll see. I think David Bassember, after the meeting, said that he was going to continue to meet with the police department and with the mayor and try to find an agreement. I think there are some community meetings where David Bessemer is going to go speak and talk to more constituents. I don't know how it's all going to play out in the end, but I do know, again, that the number is just, you know, it almost certainly won't be veto proof. So it may come down to whether or not the mayor decides to right. veto it. A couple of other little things, kind of despite how much airtime and media attention the Sanctuary City resolution has gotten, there has been other news in the city, and the city has been attending to other business. During the same week, the city council approved almost an administrative change to the budget that involved basically almost a decade ago now. The city through the LDC, which is like its economic development arm, or one of them, gave a loan to Minasal's wine cellar, which is up on sort of off of Congress Street, where Donna's, the briefly right. the short-lived Italian restaurant opened by Vic Christopher, was also. And the Minasal's never paid the loan back, and now it's not in that location anymore. And that money was federal funds, and anytime you take federal funds, it's there's some strings attached, and there are reporting requirements and whatever. Long story short, HUD decided that the city didn't do its proper due diligence when monitoring that loan, which again, the city never got back. And so it said that you have to pay it back. But it was nice enough when it said that you have to pay it back that we basically are going to pay it to ourselves. So that's what the city council approved. So instead of sending the money back to Washington, D.C., to HUD, we're basically allowed to take the money, and we do have to take it, you know, change the budget, take $25,000 and pay it into our CDBG fund, basically, so that we can use it on other sort of approved projects in Lansingburg. So it's a decent outcome for the city not doing a good job of keeping up on that particular loan. So it shouldn't hurt taxpayers too bad.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. But that's what I reached out to the HUD spokesperson, and they said, you know, this is basically like a best case scenario for us. You know, we do have to have some accountability here, but you don't have to give us the money totally back.
That's amazing.
And then another meeting that I went to was the Troy Public Library's Building Committee. I was the only member of the audience. It was just in a little office in the Hart Library downtown, beautiful marble clad building. And actually, that building was the subject, or one of the main subjects of this meeting, because next year, the Troy Public Library, through mostly state grants, is going to work on two walls. The two non marble clad walls. Repointing, resealing, repainting, that sort of thing. A real touch up and kind of overhaul of those two walls. The two walls are, I should say, the west side, and so that's the rear. No, sorry, I misspoke. The east side, which faces 3rd Street and in the parking lot that's right there next to the county building, and the north side of the building, which you can't even really see from the street. So that it amounts to almost $500,000 worth of work.
Wow.
And that's not even, so that's not the marble. Yeah. Those, that's just two walls, and that's not the marble clad walls, which are in need of probably even more or at least the same amount of money, rough estimate of what will need to be done. And that's not next year. That's sometime, in the future. They also talked about maybe potentially replacing the HVAC system of the downtown building. Again, very expensive. The heat has failed sometimes, and it seems sort of dodgy and outdated. So that's another thing they'd like to do. And then just briefly, I'll mention that you may have heard that the Albany Public Library announced that starting next year, it's not going to charge late fees for books and other items. And there's actually a lot of research that suggests it's because, you know, late fees don't actually encourage people to return books sooner. It just makes them feel ashamed and maybe less likely to use library services. And so I literally learned of that news while I was sitting in that meeting. And so I asked the director and the board what they thought about making that change in Troy. And the library director, Paul Hickok, was familiar with this kind of trend and sort of appreciated its justifications. And he called it a wonderful idea. But he also said that they need to find a way to plug the $7,000 plus that they currently bring in revenue and late fees.
Fair point.
We'll see. He didn't say no.
Okay. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you for having me.